song that we were singing. I confess I've not heard it before. But the chorus that we were singing, "I've Got My Mind Made Up," actually goes along quite a bit with what we're going to look at from Romans chapter 6 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you're able to turn there. We're going to read through Romans chapter 6. There's been some thoughts that have blessed my heart this week regarding this passage, and I just, by the power of God, hope to convey those things to you this morning. So before we read, let's again just look to the Lord for help. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we're very thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for all that He has done. He has redeemed us. He's bought us with His own precious blood at great cost. We thank You for everything that's been done for us already. And we have but just to trust in that, rely in His work. And so this morning we're reading Your word. And so I pray that the words that we read from the pages, that You would enable our minds to understand them, and our hearts to take them in and to yield to them. So we look to You for blessing in Your own name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6. We'll read this and into chapter 7. It's a long stretch, so please bear with me as I read. I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning to our hearts. The order in this chapter, when we got to verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, is very clear. There's a progression, an order, and that is to know, then to reckon, then to present, and then to bear fruit. And the order is very important, and we can't get that wrong. If we start with the idea that I want to bear fruit for God, I want to do the right thing, I want to clean myself up and be right with God, I want to stop doing all of those things of which we were reading about toward the end of chapter 6. If we start there and try to put our effort toward that and try to work backwards, it'll never work. And so we have to go in the order that Scripture is laid out here. First, we have to know the facts, the historic facts, the truth. And I'm speaking this morning to you who are in Christ. We're at Romans chapter 6. So we've skipped forward past a lot of things that would address those who are outside of Christ, or our life before Christ. Our life when we didn't know that the value of the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't know the Son of God, we didn't know God himself. And the earlier chapters of Romans brings us along and shows us how we came into that relationship with God. But I'm starting from the point of view that you are already in Christ, brother and sister. And so this is where we're looking at, to know the historic facts. It is still important for us to lay hold and to know the historic facts. And I'm not talking, and we didn't read all of, I'm going to stick with my slides. Forgive my mind for going off for a second. So we want to know the facts, and when we know the facts, we want to reckon them. We want to consider them to be so. We want to reckon them. It doesn't take a lot to reckon it when you really understand it. And then we will present ourselves or yield ourselves to God, and by doing that, the fruit comes, the fruit that is pleasing to the Lord, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of being set apart for God. So that's what we hope to look through this morning. So first one is to know. What should we know? We were reading, and the word came up a few times in verse 3. Do you not know? Paul was exhorting the Romans, asking them, don't you know this? And then verse 6, we know. And then verse 9 again, knowing that. Knowing what? What are the things that we want to know here? We want to know historical facts. We didn't read chapter 5, but chapter 5 is full of historical facts. Facts that apply, that are not just things that happened in history to the Lord Jesus, not just facts, not just things that God did with him in that life, but historical facts that apply to the believer. These things are true of the believer. They happened in the past. That's how the wording is written, with the past tense. And we're just going to go through a few of these to catch us up. In chapter 5, verse 1, we were justified. That means that God was able to declare us righteous in his sight. We were justified. We have peace with God. We have it. We obtained access to his grace through the Lord Jesus. All of this, by the way, is in the Lord Jesus. We have been given the Holy Spirit. Have been. These are facts for the believer. Again, it's told to us in verse 9 that we have been justified. Have been justified, declared righteous in God's eyes. We have been reconciled to God as well. We have been brought together, the relationship restored, and we received reconciliation even. When we got into chapter 6, here are some more facts. We were baptized into his death. We were buried with him. We were crucified with him. That is, our old man was crucified with him. We were set free from sin. These are facts, and they won't change. In today's world, we have the idea of fake news, fact-checking, and pretending that things are different than they really are. But your belief and my belief in facts really doesn't matter to the fact. The fact is the fact. It's historic fact. It will not change whether we believe it or not, whether we are believing it or not, whether we're pretending something different or not. The fact does not change. It's historic. The facts are laid before us before the idea of considering them so or reckoning them. Now, why am I emphasizing this historic fact? I heard something this week that I hadn't heard, but apparently, maybe you have, and I don't have all the details, but it's a story that's told. It's a parable of sorts. It's not real people or real things, but the idea is that fact, faith, and experience are on a narrow rooftop and they're walking along. And fact is in the lead, and fact is getting along just fine. No problems. Faith has her eyes or his eyes
focused on the fact and is following along just fine. But when faith turns her eyes back to look on experience, faith falls down and carries experience with her. And while that's just a simple little illustration, it's vital, because if our eyes are looking back on our experience as Christians, we will likely start to struggle and fall and doubt and wonder, were things ever the way that I thought? What about those facts? And so Paul in Romans 6 wants us to be focused on the facts and reckon those. Our faith is in the Word of God. Those are facts. So, reckon or consider. This version says consider it. Trying to think of which verse it was here. It's different to my eyes than my other Bible book. You must consider. Verse 11. You must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You must reckon it. You must calculate it. You must do some simple math. Simple math. That's it. True or false. That's all God asks us to do. We're in tax season. Some of us are doing taxes and calculating things and reckoning things. We have the facts. We look at the amounts in our balances. How much came in? How much went out? How much do we owe the government? How much in this and that? This is the word, this accounting term that's presented before us, and this is what the Spirit of God wants us to do, is to look at the facts and consider them to be so. To count it as true to you. If you're a believer in Christ, all of those facts, all you have to do is account that as yes, 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 yes. That's me, 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 me. One, 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 one. We're not doing complex calculations here. It's something that you and I can do. We can consider something to be true. Are we dead or are we alive? Are we in Christ or are we not? Reckon it. Yes, I should have got to this slide first, sorry. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the fact. You and I, we are dead to sin. And there's an example that's at the end of chapter 6 that puts sin as a slave master, and you and I as the slaves of that master in our old man. Reckoning is sort of like faith, in a way. The earlier chapters of Romans bring out and talk a lot about faith. We're justified by faith. We're justified by hearing God's word and hearing his promises and believing them. However, reckon is dealing mostly with the past. In fact, only the past. That term is not being used for the future. For us, in faith, we know there are still future promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives here and in the future to be with him. But reckoning is like that idea of faith, but with the things that have happened in the past, the historic facts that we have gone over. That's why it is now time for us to reckon these things to be so. Facts that are revealed by God. And then we move forward after reckoning into presenting. So after we reckon and consider these things to be so about ourselves, that we are dead, that we've been crucified with Christ, that we are in him, that he was raised and therefore we were raised, all these things are true, And so now is the opportunity to present or to yield. Often this word here, where we see present in Romans 6, it's also used later throughout Romans to present your bodies, a living sacrifice. It's also used when talking about being presented at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Gospels use this word actually quite a bit to talk about people who are standing by. They're standing by. Very interesting that when we present ourselves, we're just there before God, yielded to what He wants to do. And oftentimes we can kind of go a step further and start getting into things that we want to do for the Lord. Good things maybe, but we go beyond just being yielded to Him and listening and waiting for Him. So we have our word present here in Romans 6:13. Do not present your members, your parts of your body, as to sin as instruments. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. We had two pictures in human terms to help us understand some of these things that Paul wrote about by the Spirit of God. One was the slave master sin, and then the next one was the husband, the law. And in the slave master sin, it's important to realize that sin doesn't die. Our old man is a servant to sin, but God doesn't destroy sin. He didn't destroy sin and take that master away from us. The order is important. We died. So that slave master has no bearing upon us. And yes, Christ, when He died, He dealt with sin. I'm not talking about the victory He has over sin. I'm not diminishing that. But in this example of the master sin and the slave, the old man, it's the old man that has to die. It's not sin, the slave master. Because sin is still present in this world. And sin in the believer's life, while it has no power, it has no authority, because you died in Christ. This is an important concept. It's a different way of thinking. If we just think, oh,